Hi guys, and welcome back to Topic Tuesday episode 7. If you've watched any of the previous episodes, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. And today I'm joined by the amazing Imogen,
Yay!
Who I'm so excited to have here. How are you?
I'm sorry if you just heard my little girl in the background while Lucy was talking there. I have my 3-month-old with me, but hello, I'm so excited.
Thank you for coming.
No,
honestly,
thank you for having
it means
me.
So much to me. Yes, Oriabella is here with us today. Imogen's brother, Hugo, has joined us as well, which is just amazing and a huge help. So shout out to you, Hugo. Yeah. Thank you.
I love that.
And I'm just so excited to have Imogen here, especially since I've also entered the mom space, because I honestly watch Imogen in awe. I genuinely don't know how you juggle 2 babies, businesses, a healthy love life.
You're amazing. No, you're doing it all.
No, but the 2 babies things just blows my mind.
Still,
I don't know how you do it.
You can have 1 and it can feel like 3.
Well, that's how it feels like.
Yeah, but it's all relative. And I feel like 1 to 2, for me, being honest, I know we'll speak about this, but I feel as though I feel as though you know what you're doing. You feel more confident in your parenting.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, you know, as a mum, you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You have this fight or flight instinct where you're like, it's like birth.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, no one's enjoying it. You know, you're like, oh my God, I know this is going to be painful.
Mm-hmm.
But you just do it because you have this reaction of like, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I still
but thank
watch you. And I'm like,
thank
wow.
You.
So like at the beginning of my podcast, I just like genuinely our guests to introduce themselves because I just want you to tell like, I mean, I pretty much feel like a lot of the audience will probably know who you are, but I want you just to introduce yourself in your own way. So like, who are you?
Okay, brilliant. My name's Imogen. I've been doing YouTube for about 7 years. I started off as a YouTuber. Well, I didn't really start off as a YouTuber. I had this blog that was awful. But then I went over to YouTube. And then, yes, I am a mum of 2. I have my 26-month-old. Oh, she's 2. Once they get past 24 months, it's 2. I have my 2-year-old and obviously my 3-month-old. I have my husband, Spencer. And, yeah, that's pretty much me. I trained in London as like a musical theatre person and did my degree and then came into the world of social media.
Uh-huh. So you would describe yourself as like a full-time mom, which I feel like you really embrace the mom and the mom content and a content creator alongside. And you really merge the two really nice together.
Thank you. But I feel like I feel guilty to my old audience because I've definitely changed.
I feel that too.
Yes. Like life's changed. I used to do Pretty Little Thing, boohoo hauls.
Makeup.
That was me. And makeup.
Yeah.
And now who has time?
No.
I did my makeup on the train today and this woman was so nice. She was like an older lady. She was like, I've got so many tips from just watching. I fully beat my face on the train. I was like, whatever.
Powder everywhere.
Yeah, because Oriabella was asleep and I was like, wow, I
perfect
actually have time
timing.
To do my makeup.
Yeah.
Because
that's
normally
the thing,
it's just a bit of liquid highlighter, some concealer and I'm good to go.
That is the thing I felt too, like just doing content creation and being on social media. But even when I fell pregnant, I struggled a bit because of course a lot of me was like lifestyle, fitness, traveling loads.
Yes.
Fashion, and then I was pregnant and had a hideous pregnancy where I was like bedbound, comatose.
Were you?
Yeah, I was super ill. Like,
because
really
I met
sick.
You at the Kylie event, didn't I?
Yeah.
But I'd seen you already on TikTok. I remember when I left there, I put 2 and 2 together because I watched your video.
Thing. Yeah.
And I was like, wow, she's amazing. You stood up, weren't you?
Yeah, stood up. Pushed him out like a rugby ball.
Amazing.
But babe, I couldn't sit down. We'll talk about this.
Yes. Did you have it all in your back?
More than you can ever imagine.
Oh, no, I know.
Yeah. Oh,
I had
you had
all back
labor
with both my babies.
Yeah, so
and
I
it's
couldn't
in
sit
your,
down.
It's in your back.
Yeah.
And your back passage.
No, I
without
felt like,
being too vulgar, it's there.
I felt like labor to me was pushing your baby out your butthole.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Same for you.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't feel anything here.
Not one
but
thing.
So the reason why I stood up, because I was exhausted. It was a 3-day labor, but I couldn't sit down.
And you could go on no balls. I love it when people bounce on their balls. And I'm like, I couldn't on that ball.
I couldn't go in the water. No. I couldn't lay down. No. I couldn't.
Did they offer you the water?
No, it was all too late because I went in to basically push at the last minute. Long story.
Amazing.
But I do find that whole mix of like content creation, you want to look after your old audience, but it's not your life anymore.
It's
and it's
so
difficult
hard.
To. And did you feel like you lost a lot of like.
Yes, and gained. So
lost and gained.
Yeah. But it levels out, doesn't it? So yeah, I did lose a lot of people because I had a younger audience because I did videos with my family.
Mm-hmm.
I did challenges. I definitely had a makeup audience and I had a story time audience and I lost that. And it was a transition for me and I felt like, where am I? Where do I fit? Where am I now? And I feel like becoming a mum is just an incredibly amazing thing, but also you do feel lost. You feel, we were talking about it earlier, yeah. like you feel lost in the sense of, what do I wear now? Who am I?
Who am I?
Who is Imogen without, because to me, I'm just Aurea and Renalia's mom, Spencer's wife, but also so many other things. Mm-hmm. And I think when you start finding your own things and getting back to finding you, it's so important.
It's so important. And yeah, me and Imogen were just talking just quickly, like, well, we've done a podcast before the podcast, yeah. but we were just talking about like how, basically, this whole podcast with Imogen, mm. I really wanted to speak to Imogen about this because I feel like, especially on social media, becoming a mom, transitioning into that space and having a baby is not talked about enough in the sense of what goes on behind the scenes, yeah. especially when it comes to people who content create. Mm. I feel like it's our responsibility. Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I don't know how you feel, but to be really raw and honest about it, because, for example, when I had Ziggy, I struggled more than I think I've ever even let off to.
Wow.
I completely lost myself, had postpartum depression, the worst anxiety I've ever had. I think that was a lot to do with his allergies and stuff, though. And I felt alone.
But it's so common.
But it's... And then no one talks about it. As soon as I started talking about it, it's like people came out the woodworks and started mentioning me being like, oh my God, me too. And I was like, but why aren't people talking about it? Because it's so real.
I know. And I think part of me feels like there's a... I don't know. I feel as though people don't want to share because maybe they then are I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, feel as though in this country as well, we're so stiff upper lip. Mm-hmm. We're quite cold as a country. Mm-hmm. We're known for that. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of warm, loving people, but we're known as that in this country. I feel as though being open and raw, I've always been open and raw. I've always shared my lows. I've shared a lot of lows and I've shared my highs. Mm-hmm. And opening myself up to that has caused quite a bit of people being like, oh, here she goes, always crying, or here she goes, always moaning. I'm an extremely positive person, but I feel as though I love it when someone goes, do you know what? You're not alone. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. And or I can help someone else feel not alone.
And
because
I also
we spoke today, and I guess it's nice to be close.
And also, I don't like the fact that you receive that, like, oh, there she goes again, crying. Like, crying is so healthy. It's shedding energy and emotion. Like, I cry since having Ziggy, not before Ziggy,
didn't you?
Since having a baby, I cry all the time.
Yeah.
I could be even having a really good day and somehow I'll cry because I feel like now as a mom, it's unleashed such a new side of me and it's alien to my body. So the only way sometimes I fail to figure it out is to cry. Mm-hmm. But why as a society do we put that down to like a negative thing? Like for me, I'm like...
Yeah. What a beautiful thing to be able to show your emotion.
Yeah.
What a beautiful thing to feel.
Exactly.
Like, I've always been a crier. My mum said when she was younger, she used to get called waterworks. She was called, like, always crying. And my family are very loving and very open.
They are. And I feel like we feel that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel as though being open and being emotional, I've always struggled with people thinking, like, I don't know, when I was at school, I felt like I never fit in. Mm-hmm. I lent into the popular group, and then I was like, oh, I'm not here. I'm not in this space. I care too much. Like, if someone would be, you know, bitchy or whatever, I'd be like, but I'm loyal to you. And it would hurt me more. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying to my parents, like, I remember once when I was younger, I was like, I hate that I'm like this because everything hurts me more. Mm-hmm. Everything, I feel everything deep. Like I said to Renee the other day, sorry if I'm going off on a tangent, that seems to be my thing, so you'll have to drag me back. But
it's okay.
I always thought I wasn't going to really show my emotions so much to my children because I thought, oh, maybe I don't want them to always see mummy cry. Mm-hmm. But I was crying the other day because I love my baby so much. Mm-hmm. And Renalia came over to me and she was cuddling me and she was like, sorry, mummy. I said, baby, don't you dare say sorry to me.
Thank I just got goosebumps.
I was like, baby, please don't ever feel like you have to apologise
to
mummy.
But she didn't do anything wrong, right?
And I said, you've done nothing wrong. Mummy is crying because she loves you so much. And she was wiping my tears, putting her hands on me. And I was like, do you know what? I'm glad that you see this because you are going to be such a beautiful soul.
Yeah.
You are going to be able to empathise with people.
Yeah.
And you're going to be a nice, kind-hearted girl. And I just thought, no, I don't want to shed... I don't want to... I shield her from this.
No.
I want her to know that crying is a strength.
Yeah, of course. And they also say, now me going off on a tangent, but they also say, because we are like, I've alluded to it a lot, and I think Imogen can also touch on it, but having a baby does affect your relationship in one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And they always say, like, if you find yourself on like a algorithm where it comes to like parenting, like, if you have an altercation with your partner in front of the baby, the best thing to do then is to show them how to resolve in front of the baby. So if you and Spencer, for example, who is Imogen's husband, and honestly, like, I've met Spencer once, but just I feel Spencer's heart.
Yes,
he's got... just the most gentle, amazing soul. Like, but if you and Spencer was to have an altercation, they always say, show how to resolve it in front of them. Like, let's teach these kids real life.
Yeah.
And I feel that. I really feel that. Because, for example, if I think about my parents, they are married, been married for God knows how many years.
That's amazing, though.
Been together since my mom was, like, 17,
it's
18.
It's rare now.
But when I think about my parents and, like, when I've seen them have altercations, I don't know if I saw the resolution so much.
Right.
And now, as a grown adult, when I'm navigating my own relationships, I'm like, I'm not very good at resolving.
Right.
And I think that's really key. And now I've gone off on a huge tangent.
I would go off even more, so I'm not going to go. You asked me something. Yeah, I find that if we've ever said something, like sometimes maybe we're a bit flippant, or maybe I actually say sorry. Me and Spencer actually apologise to Renalia, like, obviously, Aurivella's not aware yet, but if we're a bit snappy, I'll say, sorry, darling, because I need her to know that even though I'm a parent, I'm not bionic, I'm not a robot.
Mm-mm.
You know, she's not my... I'm not going to make her spoiled by being like, oh, I have to apologise and bow down to my child. But I think it's really important for them to understand how to say sorry, because now, sometimes Renalia hits out. You know, she's in the terrible twos, they call them, you know, but I just know it's her brain developing and all those things. But I need her to understand. And now, since I say sorry and Spencer says sorry, she'll say, sorry, mummy.
Oh, bless her.
If she does something. And they need to know how to say sorry. Well, some people won't agree with me on that. Some people think that children shouldn't have to say sorry. And I get it.
Because they're learning.
Yeah. But in our family, we just say it naturally.
The dynamic.
And yeah. And that's how it is. I don't judge other people. So I'm hoping people are like, oh, because I know there's so many parents out there that parent different.
And it's okay.
And it's okay.
Yeah, like even me navigating now, Ziggy is 16 months old. I just said to Imogen, I'm not, he's getting more sassy and I love it. Because I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, you go, hun.
Yes.
But I'm not experiencing tantrums.
No.
Not yet. Mm-hmm. But like how I deal with it moving forward, like I'm not going to lie, I'll just learn off the cuff. Because like I really don't really know what to do. But like how you do it and how I do it and how the... It's okay. Like let's not judge other parents for how they parent, because it's their child. It's their environment. Mm-hmm. Everyone's home environments are different. So yeah, I just really hear that. And I think it's just as... parents, it's just healthy to be real and raw and teach kids, like, mommy and daddy might bite at each other, but mommy and daddy are then also going to say, like, kiss and make up.
Yes.
You know, show that affection.
Yes.
I think it's really important. And that was a huge tangent, but I guess we're just...
Yeah, sorry, I could go even more, but I'm not going
to. So, first thing I wanted to ask you about, because lots of people wrote in, and I will touch more on people's... excuse me, sounding still bunged up, by the way.
Me too.
What the hell? I will touch on people's topic Tuesdays to get Imogen comment on them in specifics. But I just wanted to ask you, one thing that I feel like I struggled with the most when having a baby is my mental health. I just alluded to Imogen off the camera, like it was really bad. Did you?
So, with Renalia, never. I felt as though I had... anxiety, because I was like, oh my goodness, I've never loved anything as much as, you know, I love Spencer more than anything in the world, but the love you have for a child is a completely different love. I love Spencer the maximum I can love him, and I love Renalia and Aurivella the maximum I can love them as a mum. You know, I'm not his mum, I'm his wife, so it's very different. But I feel as though with Renalia, I can't remember the hormones being as they could, they didn't drop as much as they did with Aurivella. But I feel like I did tell you earlier, I was tandem feeding. So I fed both of the girls for a month. It just happened that way. I never planned it. I never thought that that would be my truth or my reality. But I always thought Renalia would just self-wean, but she never did. And she did in the end. But yeah, she was completely self-weaned at two. She was like, "Mummy's, that's baby's milk." And I was like, "Thanks, hun." She left me with mastitis, which I was like, "Thanks, hun. See you later. Love you so much. I'm leaving you with that passing gift." But... I feel as though the hormones on the, with the second baby for me dropped loads.
Oh God!
They
don't tell me that.
No, but I said to Spencer when I was pregnant, I was like, "I'm just pre-warning you. Apparently, with the second baby, the after pains could be more. You know, my hormones might drop. I could experience postnatal depression. My mum did, and it's genetic, apparently.
Oh,
so interesting. They were, the midwives had it on their files as to know. You know, I could have had it. I don't think I had postnatal depression. I do notice that my hormones, because you don't have a period yet. So sometimes
Well, my period came back 7 weeks into breastfeeding. I couldn't believe it. I was like, no.
Really?
I was like, you have to be.
Mine
and they
came
back
with 6 months later.
Okay.
But I don't know with Aurivella when they'll come back. But honestly, I can feel my mood drop and I get quite angry. Anger. The anger of me. Like, I feel this, like, purge. Pent up, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... But I actually filled out this thing last night, and that's really common for PMS and PMD and whatever. And I get it. So before, when I was younger, this is going off massively on a tangent, but I understand my hormones because when I was younger, when I was like 16, 17, I've tried different pills. They never worked for me. Mm-hmm. They never worked for my mum. And my mum always said to me when I was younger, I used to have these boobs that would swell
up. Huge.
Yeah. But I had small boobs and then they'd swell up the week before my period. And I went to the doctor about it once and I was like, I'm really suffering. And they were like, we can put you on antidepressants because it will help. Lots of women take it for pain. I was like, I can't take it for 1 week in a month. It was 1 week in a month and it's my hormones. They're very, very potentially imbalanced or very strong on one of them. Maybe my estrogen is high. I don't know. I'd love to look into it more when I've maybe stopped breastfeeding and my hormones have maybe leveled out. But wow. The week before my period, I'm another woman.
Me too.
And I remember calling my mum and being like, do you know, it seems like every month me and Spencer argue the week before my period.
That's PMDD.
Yeah. Yes.
That's PMDD.
And my mum said that she struggled with it. And I asked my dad and he was like, the week before your mum's period? Because my mum and dad were together for a very long time.
Yeah.
25 years maybe. They met when they met. My mum was 15. They're not together anymore. But my dad remembers that my mum would be the exact same. And I feel as though that's been me more so in these 3 months. Like, my hormones have just been, they've been just very, very heightened.
Yeah.
So I'm either, I'm running on adrenaline and I'm constantly, wow, this is amazing.
And then
I'm like, what about the mum guilt? And the guilt comes in and I feel low. And I'm like,
that's exhausting in itself trying to navigate it.
Yes.
And that's something I feel like, so I don't want to go off on hormone health because this isn't what this is about. But as you've touched on it, and we're talking about just girl stuff, hormone health is not recognised enough in this country. Hormone health is put to the side and
women's
pushed
health.
Away. Yep, with contraceptive pill, antidepressants, everything you can possibly imagine. Hormone health is, I believe, hormone health and gut health is the driving room of our whole existence.
Yeah.
I think I am struggling now since I've kind of like got myself back together after
gut
a year.
Health.
Yeah, but I think I'm struggling now with PMDD.
Really?
Because you just described what I go through every month. I can't seem to hold a conversation with Steph without crying or getting angry. And it could be over toast.
Yeah.
I can't pull myself together. I'm low. Yep. I feel a bit lost. I don't know where to go with work. Just for 1 week, it's real.
Sorry, my phone was going off. I feel so rude. I put on Do Not Disturb.
That's okay.
But I guarantee it's my mum. I guarantee she manages to get past it. She does. Every time she manages to get past the Do Not Disturb.
She calls twice.
I don't know how. The airplane mode's going on, honeybees. Don't worry about it.
But yeah, PMDD is really real. And it's not spoken about enough.
No.
And the hormone health, and a lot of people wrote in about this, hormone health when you have a baby. It's not spoken about enough.
Do you take any supplements?
For what? Hormone health?
Yes, in general, your hormones.
Yeah, I do.
I swear by supplements.
Yeah, I
do. But they still haven't helped with my drops.
But also, there's so many things that affect hormone health, not just caffeine, sugar.
Yes.
How your general diet is.
And your gut, your liver. It sends signals. So when my gut wasn't working...
Yeah, of course, because you had a lot of problems with your gut health.
Yes. But talking about mental health with my children, I actually feel like my children have... I actually feel like my, without putting so much pressure on them, I actually feel like my children have helped my mental health so much. However, my guilt and my anxiety is very heightened, but in a different way. Mm-hmm. I feel as though I put it down to being a mum and I'm just worrying about them.
Mm-hmm.
But with my mental health, that would be so different to before I had children.
Mm-hmm.
So the anxieties that I had before are not the anxieties I have now.
That's so different.
And I feel as though they help me cope with them because I'm like, I don't know, it's bizarre.
But do you ever, like, I feel that, and by the way, I don't want this all to be like negative Nancy.
No, but you're being...
This is just about, because some people, like, people wrote in and they were like, please just be honest.
Yeah.
So this is not meant to be negative Nancy, but this is
just... negative, it's
I guess
real.
It's sharing the other side.
Yeah.
I find...
That's not to say you're not an amazing mum and you're an incredible person. You're allowed to have these feelings.
For sure.
This is what I always say to my mum. Sorry to interrupt you, but I always say to my mum when she has feelings, my mum looks to solve my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to her, you don't need to look for a solution. Mm-hmm. I'm just having a moment.
Sharing it.
Just tell me that they're valid.
Yeah.
So now sometimes my mum gives me her, you know, if she's feeling low about something, I say to her, do you know what? Your feelings are valid. Mm-hmm. We're allowed to feel these things mm-hmm. and also feel happy at the same time.
But do you ever feel like the anxiety of being a mum and the guilt, it becomes a bit exhausting?
Yes.
Like I can't switch off.
But I feel like I've always been that person. Were you that person before?
No.
So it's probably harder for you.
So I'm like, I don't recognize, sometimes I'm like, I don't recognize myself. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how to deal with this. Like, I say to Seth all the time, I'm like, because men is so different. When they go to sleep at night, they go to sleep at night. For me, I go to bed and I'm like...
And they can just go.
And then sometimes I'm like, the intrusive thoughts come mm-hmm, in and the anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, mm-hmm. it's just sometimes exhausting. Mm-hmm. And I think because I went into pregnancy and having a baby so mm-hmm. naively, mm-hmm. and I didn't really have a clue what it was all about, that all these emotions
yeah.
and things hit me all at one time. And so for the first year, I was just like... Imagine some days I was like, I can't do this, man.
But you've done it. Look yeah. at where you are now.
And that's a mom. But that's yeah, a mom.
Exactly.
That's the definition of a mom. But you just do it.
So many people, I think... I honestly believe if any, like whoever's watching this and if they're a mum, they will feel exactly how you felt.
I know
and,
everyone.
And
will.
How I felt. You know, because it's we all so relate. Normal. I think because I've always been such an anxious person.
Interesting.
From literally.
From when you from can get-go, remember. Yeah.
All of my family are anxious, like all of us.
Okay.
So my dad's leveled out now since he's mm-hmm. got older. But my parents were both fostered. They didn't have anyone around them.
Oh, wow.
So they had extremely difficult childhoods.
I think I knew that,
childhood.
Actually. I don't know yeah, why I'm... I don't know why I'm actually surprised. But, I think I know that.
But they had extremely challenging childhoods. I feel as though maybe we got some anxiety from them or just that's in our genes. Mm-hmm. And it probably was so much harder for you because you were probably a chilled person before.
I just lived my life yeah. a lot more... I want to use the word carefree. Yeah. Probably selfishly.
Yeah.
It was just... And I've always been hyper-independent. Like, right. and then I had a baby and I was like, it's like someone took my world,
yeah.
flattened it with a base yeah, bat yeah, and yeah, then yeah, was yeah. like, rebuild it.
Yeah.
But they while say, struggling,
it
like
take 2 years for a woman to get back to
yeah,
where
it's
they were.
2 years. So I'm almost there.
And I've had another baby, so I've got another four, haven't I?
No, but I said to Imogen off camera, like, it just, I mean, it might not, but from a viewer of yours, it looks so natural. It's like you were made to do it.
And
it's
you
like you were made to be a mom.
Do you know what? That is the nicest thing. That is genuinely the biggest compliment anyone can give me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about materialistic things. If
no,
you
me
say
neither.
To me, I look pretty, I don't care. Honestly, that is the
Being
biggest
a good
compliment.
Mom. Yeah.
And I know this sounds silly, and I feel as though I might offend people saying this. Honestly, I genuinely... People be like, well, that's not your only purpose. I genuinely believe my purpose was to be a mum.
I feel that too.
I know that sounds so
no,
weird.
No, no, it doesn't. And I said
and
to
I feel like I'm going to offend people and I worry about offending people because I feel like
no,
people are going to be like,
truth.
Oh. But that is genuinely, I feel like it's my greatest talent.
I
being
would
a mum.
Yeah.
I honestly, and yeah.
And I said to Imogen off camera, I was like, you're going to have more kids? She was like, I want loads.
I want a dog.
That's when you know you're born to be a mum. She's like, I want loads. And I was
want as
there.
Many as I can physically
yeah.
be blessed with.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know as a
yeah,
mum.
Yeah, you just don't know. And I'm there struggling like, I can't even do one. Like I would love more because I know how amazing it is to have siblings and I don't want to deprive mm-hmm. Ziggy of that. But mm-hmm. I think I would have to like...
Yeah, but find all in good time if that's what you want. You know, yeah. I think there's a lot of pressure on everyone.
I definitely want Ziggy to have a sibling. That's
yeah,
what
wow.
I want. But I'm like, the first year for me was such a challenge. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I didn't know if I was going to get through it. Well, mm-hmm. I'm like, how do you psych yourself up to do that again? Because I had a pregnancy
yeah.
and then I had a postpartum mental
remember,
recovery.
You're so close to your sister.
Yeah.
And that's such a beautiful thing. And that makes me feel so good about my girls. But no, but don't feel like that. But what I'm saying is, how are you and your sister similar, but also different?
Yeah.
And I bet raising you was completely different.
Yeah.
So just know in your head that you will have a completely different experience.
Well, babe, if it's...
You will.
If I get it harder than raising Ziggy in the first year, then I don't know.
You.
It
but,
can't
but
be.
Also,
having an allergy
have,
baby.
You might have another... True. That is
That's
so...
That's a different level. And someone wrote to me about that. They were like, having a allergy baby with mm-hmm. eczema is probably one of the hardest.
So, and you've done it. And you're doing
well,
it.
Well, yeah, thank God.
And so if you ever had that with your second, you'd know how to navigate
it. I said that. I was like, it can't get harder than that yeah. first.
Well, I was prepared for Ariavella to have a tongue tie. So I was like, listen, I've done the tongue tie. I had an oversupply. I had mm-hmm. A heavy flow. I had a really extreme letdown. Mm-hmm. And she had such bad reflux. And the tongue tie didn't get cut for 6 weeks and mm-hmm. all these things. Mm-hmm. And then we struggled after that. I was so expecting. I was like, bring it on, because I'm going
to
be prepared.
You know what to do.
She didn't have a tongue tie.
Mm-mm.
So, and,
isn't
you know.
Isn't it so, like...
Yeah.
Isn't science mad?
Yeah. And they're completely different babies.
I know.
I mean,
she's
I know
so
I'm in a
chill.
Regression now, but... And she's not sleeping now, but, you know, it was unheard of that she'd slept through the night for so long. And I didn't have to wake her to feed because she was growing so much anyway and drinking. And her and Renalia are just different. And you will have a completely different child.
And that's quite exciting in itself, isn't it?
It's a beautiful thing.
That is quite... And I think probably that's what gets you, like... Because you had good pregnancies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They both measured small. So I had to go for growth scans.
But they weren't.
But, well, they were small to be born. So then now...
I would say is, like...
She was 6'3", Renalia.
And but Oriavella?
7'2", 7'2.5", yeah.
Is that not just an average?
Yes, she is. Yeah. She was they told me though she was going to be 6'6".
Okay, so they were both.
Yeah.
But see, here's my thing, and
How much was Iggy?
9. And he had a boulder of a head.
I'm sorry if that noise made someone in the you poor thing listening to this audio.
ASMR.
You.
Yeah.
You are and amazing.
And his head, like his head.
No, sorry.
Was so. Big. The first thing to come out, he was a big boy. And he came out fully cooked. He was like
mums
chunky.
Are amazing.
There was no vernix on him. Is it vernix?
Yeah.
There was nothing left on him. Because I was into the whole hypnosis. I really trust my body.
Yeah, good.
And like I have a very
and
good...
And look at you. You did amazing. Oh, yeah. You're amazing. I just think mums are amazing. Whatever. Yeah, by the way, if you're listening to this and you had a different experience and you had a traumatic birth, just know you're still amazing. Us mums we'll are just that. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Sorry, but we're amazing.
But I think like... My labor and my physical recovery was just extraordinary, and I'm so thankful for it, because I think if I had a labor and bad physical recovery, I would throw the towel
in
completely.
Was your physical recovery easy then after?
Oh my god,
you were on the go.
It was amazing.
Yeah,
I literally was like within a week I felt back to like physically. I was like, oh, but it was the mental which dragged. So let's get into some topic Tuesdays.
Yes, please.
Someone sent this in and I really resonate with it. And it was like the hardest part of motherhood isn't the kids or loving them or being a mom. It's everything else. So it's like the schedules, the laundry, the cooking, the expectations, the emotions, the exhaustions, the snacks, the cleaning. The repetition of it.
The constantness.
It's not actually the kids.
You're never off.
It's the life around it. And I really, really, like, loving Ziggy and being a mom to Ziggy is the best thing in the world and comes naturally to me. Yeah. It's everything else.
Yes. Like, Spencer doesn't, like, the other day, so I know I have it. I'm very grateful that I get to work at home. But that's not also taking away from the fact that I do still work. I went back to work. 2 weeks postpartum with both of the 4 weeks probably with Renalia. But yes, I'm privileged. I do social media. That doesn't mean I don't work hard. I work as hard as I physically can. And I do a lot in my day. You know, I'm doing TikToks, I'm doing content, I'm doing Instagrams. And I know, by the way, a lot of people are gonna be like, you're privileged, and I get that. And I'm lucky that I have Spencer at home. I'm grateful now that Renalia goes to nursery because I have 3 days a week that I can definitely smash out content. But then I have a 3-month-old that I still have this guilt of like, God, I've got to do some sensory classes with her or something because she doesn't get as much as Renalia did. Because
that's always the second child. Yeah. They just get dragged along to everything else.
And then I'm like, on the days that Renalia's at nursery, I'm working. So I have to... But I said to Spencer the other day, you know, Spencer, we definitely have swapped roles. So Spencer was working. He was a barber for 10, 11 years. And when we met, that was what he was doing. And we have Renalia. It wasn't financially viable and it didn't work for him to go to work when I was at home working and needed to go back. So he does the cooking, he does all the cleaning, and I help out with that.
Is he effectively the stay-at-home dad?
Yeah, he's the stay-at-home dad, but he also gets a couple of brands here and there. And he helps me with the filming, he helps me with... But I still do the majority of the childcare because I'm with the babies.
And you're breastfeeding
exclusively. Yeah, and I'm the planner, I'm the entertainer, I do the... I make sure that all their clothes are ordered. And Spencer was like, I don't think I realise just also what you do.
Do you ever feel resentment towards Spencer for that?
No, because maybe I'm a bit of a control freak in the sense of I like...
To have that control.
Yeah.
You don't want to pass that over.
Yeah. I used to do all the cooking and stuff before Renalia came along and he'd come back from work and because I was working at home. But I feel as though... I grew up with my mum going to work and my dad was a stay-at-home dad and he'd renovate the houses. So my parents would, you know, flip houses, not quickly, but we'd live in the house and whatever. And we had students that lived in our house. So my dad would do all the cooking for like 8 students plus us, me and my older brother and my mum, obviously. So I think I saw that dynamic and I respect how hard he works. Sometimes, listen, we work together, we're married and we raise children together and we live together. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Navigating that with two... I'm not going to sugarcoat it. At the very beginning, we were like, we're not being nice to each other. Like, I was like, Spencer, you're going to have to have more patience with me because my hormones, I mean, I'm only 3 months postpartum still.
I don't know.
So I'm still navigating it now, but we've definitely got to a place now where, because he wasn't the most, he's patient, but he's not, I've definitely learned patience from having children.
100%.
And I feel as though he wasn't as patient, and he'd be like, he was treating me because I'm such a you probably see it, I'm like, let's go. Like,
a ball of energy.
Yeah, and he was like, I never see your struggle. I never see if you're actually, he's like, okay, Mills, to me, he calls me Mills, sorry. He's like, Mills, to me, you're just bionic, superwoman. But I'm like, you baby, are. I need you.
Yeah.
I need you to emotionally know that if I snap, don't snap back.
It's not
back,
personal.
Just take it and I'll apologize later because I will reflect and I'll be like, I'm sorry. If you snap back, it's going to be an argument.
Mm-hmm.
And but he's allowed his emotions too. And there, you know, it's that really navigating.
Difficult. It's really difficult.
It is. And I feel as though that part of it, for me, has been the, I'm constantly on. He can switch off, but I'm on.
Men and women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, in my spare time, I'm like, right, they need new sleep bags. I need to give them this.
Yeah, I can relate.
Developmental toys, right, this, da, da, da. And it's just on.
They just, and then I think, like, for me, I found that really difficult. Mm. And I think men, especially with the first child, when it's like, it's your first experience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, for example, if I would snap or be really rude or like, because I was so low, Seth would take it personal. And then
sensitive.
He would be like...
Is he sensitive?
With me, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's not sensitive in life,
but with me,
if I've been rude or nasty to him, he would take it really personal. Mm-hmm. And I would have to keep saying to him like, it's not personal. Mm. I'm really struggling and I'm in a really low place and I'm speaking to everyone like shit and I'm really sorry. I can't figure even out myself. So like, you're going to have to hold it. We always say like, Ziggy has taught us what it means to be parents. So if there was another one, you know what to expect.
The first is your lesson, I think.
So I have a question. This is completely off topic, but I'm just interested in the dynamic because effectively you're the breadwinner.
Yes.
So this is completely off topic. Yeah. I'm just really...
Go.
So like, do you... Give pay Spencer?
No, so everything of mine, is shared, yeah.
Okay.
He's my, honestly, I'm not just saying this, like when I first met him, I was cruel, I was nasty, I was very closed off, I'd been single for like 5-6 years, mm-hmm. I had previous ex-boyfriends that it was just not healthy, I was so independent that I was like, I'm never meeting a man, I wanted the fairy tale ending, but I was like, is it actually going to happen? He is the... I've never met him. I've met a man like him because his dad's similar to him.
Oh, really?
But I've never, ever really met a man like Spencer.
I don't think I've met a man
his
like Spencer.
His brain doesn't... He's the purest man.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't have any ulterior motives. He has no... He doesn't think the way that I think. And he doesn't think the way that a lot of other people think. I always used to call him a puppy. And when I first had him on my channel, I didn't introduce him for a long time. He was just called Pups.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, if this goes wrong, people are going to find his name. And then people are going to know about him. Mm-hmm. And then what if it goes wrong? Like, it's all over social media. And I just didn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
So we share everything. My income wouldn't be my income
if it
without him.
Yeah, I hear that.
And let's talk about the women and the men that stay at home. Mm-hmm. Because I know what it's like to be at home because I am at home as well. I'm a stay-at-home mum. But I'm also a working mum.
Mm-hmm.
I do the childcare, I do the feeding, I do the nights, you know, because Oriavella's only just taking a dummy. Hugh, sorry, I'm just going to ask. Hugo B, what's happening, Angel?
She's fine.
She awake?
Yes, but she's still fine.
Bring her here, baby, I'll feed her.
Really?
Yeah, can you get her out? I'll feed her. Please.
Oriavella is making her entrance.
Oriavella is not happy.
I don't know
if feed.
She'll be in the shot. Is it okay if she's in the shot?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, cool.
And so will everything here.
And so will the breath.
Yeah. Hello, sweetheart. Hello, sweetheart.
Do you really miss her when you're not with her?
Yes. I love her so much. And I miss her older sister. So when she was in hospital, I was meant to come on this podcast last week, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Do you like some milk?
You are so gorgeous.
Am I going to be
and
able
mommy's
to?
Mummy's milk is like bloody magic.
Well, clearly, because she's an absolute... Oh, gosh, that's moved. Are you in there? I just have to check if that's the right boob.
Yeah, because you did that one last time.
I did.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I felt it. Okay. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's really nice of you to speak so clearly and like.
But yeah, let's put
like, normalize the stay-at-home dads.
Yeah, because so many women at home feel so unappreciated because they feel like they don't do the 9-to-5, they don't bring the money in effectively. Mm-hmm. The amount of money that I'd have to spend of childcare and also I'd have to give up my time of being with my babies.
Yeah.
You know, okay, the house can be messy. Yeah, okay, cool. But if Spencer was going to work with his job financially, what he was earning, I'd be spending in the childcare.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas rather I'd have my husband at home with me. And time. Yes, it's a privilege.
Yeah, it is. It's lovely.
It's a massive privilege. But he is the stay-at-home dad. And it's amazing.
And effectively, that forms like a little rock for you.
Yeah. And when we renovated our house, he was doing a lot of the smashing down the walls and all those things that were bringing in an income, essentially, mm-hmm. because a house is an asset.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we pay a mortgage and stuff. Sorry, I'm pressing the other boob because I've got the letdown coming down. So there
Do you have pads?
No, I don't wear them. I just press.
Okay. whatever works.
And my flow's definitely been different anyway because she's probably leveled it out a bit more. But, she's going to sleep, I think. But yeah, let's champion having a different dynamic and having women, you know, empower each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what an incredible thing. People always say to me, oh, Spencer's always cooking, always cleaning. Huh? And I'm working.
Do people say that to you?
Yeah, people say it to me. And it really undermines...
Gosh, is it not clear what's going on there?
Yeah, and it really undermines that I'm the main breadwinner. I'm the woman that's working.
So of course that's how it would be.
Yeah. So I never undermine what Spencer does because I know how hard it is to be at home because I'm with him, but I wouldn't be able to film around the house because it would be an absolute mess. I wouldn't be able to function. My brain, when the house is messy, my over-analytical situation, I'm like, I can't film in this, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Or if I haven't slept, I need some help.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got to work to be able to provide for our family. So
do you feel a lot of pressure?
I put pressure on myself anyway. I don't feel pressure from anyone but myself. Okay. Yeah. I do put pressure on myself. Yeah,
it's really interesting though.
Yeah, that's me, yeah.
Because I think I also felt that just being self-employed, like you have to go back to work as soon as the baby's born.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally was working the day after Ziggy was born.
And it's so different on social media. Some months you're not earning nearly anything because the brand deals are all coming in at specific months.
Yeah, we were literally just talking about how inconsistent and the way of...
So when work comes in, when people are like, oh, there's ad after ad, I'm like, I love these brands. I'm grateful to work with these brands and I'm taking the money while I can.
Yeah, of course. And I think I'd love to talk, I'm not going to talk about more on this in this podcast because I
think... Get me back up, hun.
We're on mom vibe, but like the people don't really understand the behind the scenes of social media. Mm-hmm. And I think people think, oh, but you work on social media, it's so easy. It was easier for me to work in corporate and have a stable, like it's really hard not only just to do the job and, you know, get the deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's the mental, like of being self-employed and like... You know, when Ziggy was
born
the next day, I'm like, okay, I'm thinking about work. Like, that's one of my biggest regrets. And someone asked us if you have any regrets from how you moved after having a baby, what would it be? And mine is having the mentality that I had to go back to work the next day because protecting my mental health is more important than getting that deal in at that moment. And I didn't have, like, I don't get maternity leave. It's not a thing.
You don't get any.
And I realized why maternity pay and break is a thing because you freaking need it.
Yeah.
So that would be my kind of like...
What's mine? Sorry, she's just chugging away. Are you okay? Are you gorgeous? Are you smiling?
Aw, makes me miss breastfeeding.
Oh, you're lovely. What's my biggest... What's my
regret? Do you have any regrets of choices you've made when you were pregnant or having the babies? Do you get me?
I know, I understand. Yeah, I feel as though potentially... Going back to work so quick.
Same as me then.
Yeah.
And I think that's
just going back to work so quick. But I just thought if I took 6 months off, where would the 6 months of income be?
And it's crazy.
Yeah. And you have that pressure on you, sorry.
So let's get into some topic Tuesday. So these are so the thing that I put up was all around kind of like motherhood journeys and just being real and raw and honest about it and people's like perspectives of their motherhood journey.
She's gonna grab this microphone.
Hello, cheeky girl. Are you okay? Do you need some help?
Look at that. Do you want to sit here with us?
You want to sit and play?
Sit here and
gonna
talk
say hello.
Talk to mummy's friends.
Is she okay with the lights and everything?
Yeah, she's
okay.
Fine. Yeah, they're dim.
So let's talk through some of the topic Tuesday.
Yes,
so
please.
a whole load of different things and people writing in and they want to get our advice and like what we feel about it. And this one made me laugh so much. I just need to find it because I saw it when I was just planning for this. Where's it gone now? I remember it though, so even if I can't find it, I'll remember what it said. Okay, this made me laugh. What triggers me since I've had a baby and as a parent is when my partner goes for the fourth 15 minute
toilet
of
break.
The day.
Oh.
What is that? Carl, you've got a microphone there. Speak up.
Listen, tell me about it.
What is it all about?
He sits on the toilet and I'm sure it's an escape. Yeah. Hey, listen, you're laughing because you know.
We just like daily breaks.
No, listen, I'm telling you. No, you need more fibre in your diet then. Yeah. How long is it taking?
But does that, like, I hear
it's
it.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Yes.
I mean, it doesn't happen four times a day.
But when he does it,
it's like you're gone for half an hour.
Yeah, and sometimes, he won't mind me saying this, sometimes if he's eaten something which doesn't agree with him, let's say like oats and mushrooms aren't really great with him, he gets like an IBS tummy.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, he's gone for the day.
What is it about men and toilets?
Yeah. And he's there sitting on his phone watching golf
videos.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
That's what it is. You get distracted.
Yes.
But I would love to sit... I would love to sit on the toilet for 15 minutes on my phone.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't do that.
But this is the thing you need to admit. Spencer's only just recently admitted it, that he does get distracted. His brain does go off. Like, when he does
some stuff around the house,
he needs to wear his AirPods in and listen to a podcast because he says, my brain, I'll start thinking about football. And then I'll be like, do you know what? I've forgotten what I'm actually doing.
But when someone wrote that in, I laughed so much. So I was like, it can be the tiniest thing. Like a man sitting on the toilet for 15 minutes can be so triggering.
Yeah.
But we literally all feel the same thing.
So
PSA, men, you don't need to sit on the toilet for 15 minutes.
Yes.
Just take your and get up and come and help us. Because I feel it.
Oh, I like sending Renalia to go and knock on the door.
Yes.
She goes and knocks on the door and she wants to go in there.
I love that.
He's going to get up now, hun. Good for you.
I just thought that one was so funny. Someone wrote in and was like, you two need to say the truth about breastfeeding. So I think me and Imogen have and had very different breastfeeding experiences.
Yes, because when I saw you at the event, you were like, this is a lot. And I think you'd only just, had you had it cut yet?
Yes.
You had it cut.
I can't believe how young Ziggy was at that event and how new I was.
I know, but you
know,
were
that
so
event
confident.
To me is like a blur.
But you were so confident.
I was away with the fairies.
And you were really enjoying it then.
Huh?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say I was enjoying life then.
No, enjoying. Were you enjoying breastfeeding?
So here's the thing. I think I thought I was, but when I stopped,
fine.
I enjoyed life a lot more. So breastfeeding.
I don't know what it's like yet.
But look at you.
Pregnant.
You're thriving and
you're
breastfeeding.
I've been pregnant and breastfeeding. I worked it out for three years nearly. So I was pregnant, obviously 9 months before Renalia was born. So yeah, I've been literally, 3 years.
But breastfeeding for you, you find it positive?
Well, listen, I didn't have it easy with Renalia because she had the tongue tie, 6 weeks. Then obviously she was choking on all my milk. She was so refluxy, wouldn't sleep, couldn't lie down because it was just always coming out. Even with the reflux thing, she didn't sleep for 11 months really, had to get some sleep help. So I found it hard. I constantly kept avoiding mastitis. I was having my boobs in Epsom baths. Mm-hmm. I was so engorged. I was in so much pain. Mm-hmm. I remember my dad being around because my dad lives closer and my mum's a while away. But she's an hour and a half away, but she has my little sister and she works still. So it's easier for my dad to be there. And my dad, Spencer, had run out to get me something from the shops. I think he'd gone out to get some Epsom salts, actually. And we were on the phone to the lactation consultant. My milk's just spraying everywhere. And my dad's having to video me feeding my child, trying to get the latch. Because she couldn't latch on my right. And Oriavella actually struggled as well on my right. So they both had to go to cranial osteos because they had tension from where they were in my womb. In my womb? Yeah. In my...
thing?
Yeah.
In your tummy?
In my tummy. So, yes. And then, obviously,
but I feel
your sex
like...
drive plummets. Gone.
But I feel like...
I was a raging horn at one point. Where's that gone?
Yeah, no. But I feel like from a viewer of yours, it's you still thrive while doing it.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, again, this is where I feel quite not angry at life, but like I'm like, why did no one tell me the truth about breastfeeding? Because breastfeeding to me was harder and more painful than labor.
Wow.
I cried for the first 2 weeks of breastfeeding when Ziggy was tongue-tied. I have never been so low. I was in the most excruciating pain I've ever been in.
Wow.
I had to literally sit there.
Yeah.
And hype myself up. I would be like a rocking
to latch, and you were scared to latch because you're like, you know it's gonna hurt.
And I would be like in so much pain and I would cry so hard. Mm. And the whole time I was feeding him, bearing in mind it's the first 2 weeks and they're like cluster feeding and he's like obsessed with my breast.
I got you, I know that.
I feel like I put a lot of pressure on myself to do it. And I did
it for...
I think
women do.
And that's what I would say about breastfeeding.
And it takes the... And I don't think there's enough support.
And
that's not the NHS's fault. It's because it's so... underfunded and so understaffed.
And also, like, don't be pressured to breastfeed.
No.
Because I will be honest, I love the fact that I did it for seven months. And,
that's amazing.
And then Ziggy got that goodness of me. But in reality, like, as long as the baby is fed and happy, mm-hmm. and you are happy mm-hmm. as a mom, that mm-hmm. is what's more important. And when the day I stopped breastfeeding...
It can really affect people's mental health.
It did.
Yeah.
The day I stopped breastfeeding, when I did it a bit crazy. I just cold turkey.
Yes, so. I remember watching stories.
Then, like, 48 hours after, it was like...
Wasn't he a different baby? He slept, didn't he, or something?
No, I was a different human. Like, it's the first time I looked at Seth and I was like, oh, you're really attractive.
Wow.
It's the first time I was like, oh...
I'll let you huns know how the sex goes when I'm off.
Thanks,
when I'm
babes.
Off breastfeeding.
But I was like, oh, life can be a good place. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It made me really miserable. And I don't think I realised how miserable it was making me. So that's the truth, my truth about mm-hmm, breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And... That's not to say if I had another baby I wouldn't do it, because I think I would, because mm-hmm. I love the natural aspect mm-hmm. of it, mm-hmm. but the pressure won't be there because I know the truth about it and I know how just being a happy person is more important.
Well, being a mum that is...
Functioning and happy.
Functioning and happy is way more important than, listen, fed is best.
Mm-hmm.
If you can breastfeed and you want to, wow.
Amazing.
And, you know, for me, again... This time, been a dream. Orivella struggled a little bit on my right. I got some help. It was just because of where her neck. She needed some bodywork stuff. But again, reach out. My friend has put so much pressure on herself. It's her second baby, and it's 11 years later for her.
Oh wow!
So she had a baby young, and she's done incredibly, and she's breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, Shah, get some help.
Like, yes, reach out
and get some help. And she's got help and she's amazing and her baby's thriving and it's incredible. There is help if you ask for it.
So when I was doing my hypnobirthing, because mm-hmm. I'm really into hypnobirthing, it's like mm-hmm. something that I really feel passionately mm-hmm. about.
Same, it's amazing.
The lady who hypnobirthed me, mm-hmm. she was like, book in your lactation support
when you're pregnant.
Before you have the baby. So it's there for you mm-hmm. if you need it. Mm-hmm. I didn't, but... Mm-hmm. I now know why mm-hmm. I should have. Mm-hmm. I didn't listen to her and I was mm-hmm. stupid. I should have mm-hmm. listened because mm-hmm. I think that would have helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know about tongue tie. So I thought
neither
this was life for the first 2 weeks. And I was that low and in that much pain. Mm-hmm. My mom called a midwife. She was like, you have to come and see my daughter because mm-hmm. something's not right. And the midwife came over and she looked at me and she was like, I don't know how you've been doing this for 2 weeks.
I did it for 6. I've got you. I know the pain.
It was so bad.
It's so, yeah.
So it was like
Renalia's is still tight now. Renalia's is still tight now. We had to get it massaged for we had to get it,
It's really bad.
It's, I honestly, even that you did it for 2 weeks, even that people did it for 3 days, it's so painful.
So please, I think that's
the fact that you did it for 2 weeks and still persisted with it because it's so hard.
I know.
The pain.
When he got it cut.
It's like you're being, it's like glass. It's like.
I don't know how, all I can describe is like, imagine, I don't know how, you can't describe it. Mm-hmm. You just have to go, mm-hmm. but that's something that I would say.
But I don't think my mum didn't really. So looking back, she now thinks that some of maybe some of my siblings had a tongue tie
mm-hmm.
because they struggled with their solids, they struggled mm-hmm. swallowing, mm-hmm. She struggled with feeding, she would always get mastitis because, you know, they wouldn't be able to drain it properly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, lactation consultants are a privilege because they are expensive, but they have them on the NHS. So if you really ask for help, I went to the NHS, they have like breastfeeding cafes mm-hmm. and they come round, they help with the latch, you can do different positions. And do you know what? I know there's so many people in this country and this world that don't have the confidence that some people do have, but I want to give you this confidence on this podcast to just own your voice. Like, if you are struggling, speak up about
help.
It, about whatever,
but
not
be,
just breastfeeding, like do it.
Yeah, but I'll be honest, I had to go private for the tongue tie, as did you, because
on the NHS,
but what's really interesting.
I got told by 4 different people that she didn't have a tongue tie, and then I went private.
So did I, what the hell?
Yeah.
That's why I had the whole problem in the first place. Because did they do the check over with Renalia in the hospital?
Four times. And four different people. I went to four different people.
And they were like, no, he's fine. And then,
But do you know why they're not trained on it? They're not trained on tongue ties.
But then the NHS is so under so much pressure. Who are we to say, like, oh, you're not trained enough? Like, they're all just trying to stand on their 2 feet.
Yeah, it's not their fault. Because a midwife turned around to me and said, we're not being trained on it. We're not being helped with it.
But in consequence of that, a lot of moms are struggling.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think if there was more support,
it would relieve a pressure other ways.
Mums would find their breastfeeding journey easier.
Facts.
And they'd have more support.
But I do think tongue ties are like genetic, hereditary. Yes, because when I went to the woman I went to get Ziggy's tongue tie,
have you got one or has
Seth?
Center.
She, when we walked into her, she was amazing. She was like tongue tie guru. Mm. I said, hi, how are you? And Seth was like, hey, how are you? She was like, oh, so you've got the tongue tie. We were like, and Seth speaks normally. He doesn't.
Wow.
And we were like, how do you know? She was like, I've been in this game for so many years. Wow. She didn't even look at his tongue. It was like, oh, it's from you. Crazy.
Wow.
So just, I think with the breastfeeding thing, to any moms coming up, just be so sure that the tongue is okay.
Because yeah, I was naive. Want to
Me too. Me but you don't know any different.
I just kept saying, I just hope she latches. I just thought it was going to be a case if she latches or not.
No,
it's not
so
about latching. It's about so many other things. Your positioning of the latch, tongue ties, flows. Honestly, like getting their body relaxed because, you know, they're in this position for however many months,
it's
and
really
then they
important.
Come out and they have to be all relaxed and latch, and you know, it's just,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Bladder control, how's yours?
I've got a hypertonic. So I recently filmed on my YouTube. I thought it'd be a good thing. I think a lot of people were a bit like, why have you done this? But I filmed my pelvic floor checkup, and I basically, you know, at the 8 week checkup at the doctors, they literally just say to you, contraception.
I didn't have that.
Well, all they ask you, baby, is for the baby mainly. And then they just ask you what contraception you're going to go on. Well, I knew after Analia.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, because we've just gone through all this.
Sorry, but my views on the contraceptive pill are like, it's a whole new podcast.
Yeah, but in general, like, shouldn't we get it looked at down there? Like, shouldn't it be looked at?
So did you go private to do this?
Yes. And she's amazing. Her name's Claire Bourne. And she's incredible. And... but I don't know if you can get it. I think you'd have to ask for a gynae or something. I don't know if you can get it on the NHS. Mm-hmm. But
women, so what did she say about yours?
Yeah, so basically, after Renalia, sorry for the gentleman in the room, but I'm very open and honest, sex really hurt after Renalia.
Okay.
I went to my cervical smear. I went for my smear, and that was painful because I was like, oh my God, I've only had a baby like 6 weeks ago or something.
Oh my gosh.
And I had the smear. And then when they did it, I was like, is it okay in there? Like, it's so painful still.
Something's,
and they were like, that's
right.
Normal. Some women just take a while to heal. And I was like, okay. Hmm. And then sex hurt. And I was like, oh my God, it never hurt before. I've been with Spencer for so many years and it never hurt. So I was like, what is going on? And I never spoke about it. I was like, is this just the way it is? Like, has it changed shape in there? I was like, honestly, I was like, has it, what has gone on in there? Like, and then I went to this amazing lady, who did my pregnancy massage while I was pregnant with Oriovella, and it was only specific positions that it wouldn't hurt in. I was like, this is just...
Wait, pregnancy massage?
On my back.
So nah, not me thinking that,
like... No, she doesn't rub you in there.
I was like, how did she know
it? If she relieves a couple of tension in there, I wouldn't mind it.
As in, like, outer?
Yeah, and she did all, like, my pregnancy massages to relieve tension or whatever when I was pregnant with Oriovella. And she said to me... I mentioned to her the sex hurt. She said to me, I think you might be hypertonic.
What's that?
I was like, what is that? So basically, hypertonic means that you're always on. So your pelvic floor is always lifted. So the problem with that is it doesn't open and relax when you're having sex.
Maybe I have that.
So I got it from potentially the trauma of, not trauma, but yeah.
Going trauma, through childbirth. Yes, childbirth is trauma.
Yeah, through the childbirth. So what's happened after that is I'm like, ooh. And she said to me, are you a tense person? I said, goodness, I've been a tense person since I was about two, since I came out of my mum. I've literally been tense.
Yeah.
I went to the pelvic floor checkup lady.
Yeah.
She checked all my pelvic floor health. She checked, like,
does she
my
go
abs
inside?
And stuff. And she goes inside. Yeah, I filmed the whole thing. I was like,
I need to watch it.
I'm going to put a bit on my Instagram for people that haven't got the time to watch a whole YouTube video, because I really want to talk about it. And she went in and saw that my pelvic floor is hypertonic. So
To go and see this lady.
You need to see this lady.
But she's in freaking...
She's in London.
Oh,
she's in London. And she's amazing.
I feel like I need to see
she
her.
She checks all your abs for separation, all those things, whatever.
I think my abs are good.
Yes, good
but,
for you. Good girl.
But
go, go, go.
In some positions, mm-hmm. when I have sex, it hurts.
Go
and it didn't
and
hurt
see her.
Before.
So basically, now what she's given me some, she said, as well, because I'm breastfeeding, I'm really dry. So
like lubricant work.
Yeah,
like,
you don't get wet when you're breastfeeding.
Yeah, well,
because your
I had
estrogen
no sex drive when
dries.
I was,
well, that's why.
My
though.
Whole body was Sahara Desert.
So you're dry down there because of the hormones.
Yep.
And because you're dehydrated. So I drink about 2.5 liters of water
yep.
a day.
I was.
But
saying.
The water goes to your baby. So yep. I now drink rehydration drinks to mm-hmm. try and get, mm-hmm. You know, some hydration there. But now I have these dilators that I bought from Amazon that she gave me the link of, and they're different shapes. They're never going to be the same size as a male penis.
Oh my God, is it like but, a...
Yeah, they're literally like, so there's one like this, two, three, four, five, and you have
this
to put them in with the, so even with...
It's like a dildo.
In a way, but they don't move. They're like a little banana shape.
Wow, I'm mind
yes.
blown.
And basically what she said is, I have to work up to the bigger one and make sure that I can put something in there and relax my pelvic floor. And she's given me exercises to do.
And it's going to
ease it
all. So
then I'm
going to
understand association with something going in and me relaxing.
Are you fascinated, Carl?
I am.
Honestly.
Imogen,
so, and
you,
she's given
you
me
fascinate
this,
me.
This vaginal moisturiser that goes in with a pipette, like I have to pipette it in so that I have moisture in there because... No matter what lubricant you use, lubricant isn't going to go in and it's never going to give you the...
So it's like a natural...
Wetness.
Wow.
Yes. So, and now, because I'm 3 months postpartum, I still haven't had sex. I'm still scared. And Spencer's been, you know, really understanding of that. And at the end of my pregnancy, I was like, let's go! Because it was a lot more relaxed down there. It was more relaxed because, mm-hmm. you know, your pelvic floor is whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I do these exercises. I do my pelvic floor exercises to open, not to...
Tighten because it's already
so
too
I have
tight.
To hold and wow. release for a long time. I do it while I'm breastfeeding because then I know I can count something. But she was amazing. Going to see her gave me validation because I was like, all right then.
Give you answers.
Has Spencer's changed shape? I said this to him. I was like, has it got more curves? Like, what's going on with it? And now I feel like even though I'm still a bit nervous, I know now I'm working up to those things, whatever. You know, me and Spencer have had a little foreplay or whatever, but nothing the go.
No, yeah.
But I feel a lot more comfortable now.
Wow.
But now I've had Hugo down. I've had my little brother down, so we're probably not doing that at the moment. But when
that's
you're going now,
my,
Hughes.
That's blown
yeah.
my mind.
Yes.
So, and this is what I mean. Like,
but it's so important that women get this checked.
Yeah, but
you can have a looser one and it could be too loose and you need to tighten it.
But do you not feel like people just don't talk about it enough?
I'm here for them.
Yeah.
I'm here to talk about it all.
So, guys, this has come to a really abrupt stop.
I'm so sorry.
Because Imogen has to get an exact train back, and we just realised the time. As I was looking at the Topic Tuesday entries, I was like, oh, it's that time. We need to go.
We need to go.
So there's lots we haven't answered.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to, in a couple months, when...
Get me back up.
We're going to get Imogen back up, because I find you fascinating,
please.
And I love to talk to you.
Listen,
but we're going to have to end it there at an abrupt stop. Sorry about that, guys.
I'm sorry, because I wanted to talk about piles, anal fissures... I want to talk about it all.
And also there's so many things you didn't answer.
I know. Save them.
Yeah, no, I will.
Save them.
And they'll stay on my archive.
Yeah, we've got to go.
Yeah, we've got to go.
Because I've got to get that pram in the car.
But thank you
so
much.
Thank you
so
much. And thanks for having me.
No, you're so welcome. It's been
Love
so
it.
Fun. Even Carl, you've been so interested.
Yeah,
I've never seen...
Listen, this is why. I used to do story times on my YouTube and
never,
I was engaging.
I've never seen Carl so engaged.
Listen.
In the corner of my eye, I'm like, are you finding this really interesting? Yeah. So thank you so much for watching.
Hugo's laughing because he loves it.
Please like, comment, share,
yes,
subscribe,
please.
Whatever you can
give,
do.
Give Lucy the love. She's amazing.
I'll
and this
stop.
Podcast. No, it really does help women. It
yeah,
really
for
is
sure. That's
people.
The aim. But thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
And we're going to quickly end it. Yes. But thanks, guys.
Bye.
See you next time. Ciao.
Bye.